Hello everyone and welcome to the Pop That Mama podcast. In this episode, we are joined by birth partner Enrico Foschi. We're so excited to have him on. He's going to be sharing his top tips for how he navigated being a birthing partner. So it goes without saying, make sure your birthing partner is with you during this episode. Get comfy and enjoy. Enrico, we're so excited to have you on. This is brilliant. I loved how quickly we organized this, and I can tell just how passionate you are about the birth partner role. So tell us about yourself.
Hi, Poppy. So first of all, thank you so much for having me here. Really excited. You have been pivotal in the way we experience the preparation to birth. So it's kind of like an honor to be here and to be talking with you and with your listeners. So yeah, I am Enrico. I'm 38 and I'm a new father. I have no medical background. I just wanted to make sure that I put it out there, as there is nothing really that makes me like a special birth partner or anything. And 2 years ago, I never expected, up to 2 years ago, to become a father. And things changed when we decided to have a family. And basically, one of the things that experienced through pregnancy at birth is, first of all, that there is a lot of things that I didn't know about. And the few things that I did know were just a very, very, very small set of how a pregnancy could actually go, and often is not a very beautiful one. And the other part was basically I didn't expect the strength that not only like hits mothers, new mothers, but also can come to fathers when they actually face the moment. And this strength that actually can make you a great supportive partner during the experience. So I would love to share these and basically what I went through, as there were a lot of ups and downs, a lot of unexpected moments, as I'm sure every pregnancy and every childbirth has.
Brilliant. Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm really excited to hear your story. But let's go back a little bit and hear about how you actually went about preparing to become a birth partner.
So first of all, I have to say that my knowledge of birth and pregnancy was basically the normalization that you can see in the media, you can see in the movies. Like, it's society also makes it basically like a woman thing. Like, it's something that you need to have a supportive partner on the side that can help from time to time. But it's a woman thing. And then birth is basically going to the hospital, sitting down, spreading your legs and having these moments where it just comes out. And yeah, and apparently asking around, everybody has their own opinion about what is the best way to, but everybody's also somehow biased. And in some ways also you're not as informed on all the options. So I kind of like to know that I like to think that there is always a lot that I don't know. So the first thing that my partner and Elizabeth and I decided to do was basically to start dive into like, what is pregnancy? What is childbirth? What are the different ways of doing things? And we then realized that there are like ways beyond these standard hospital procedures and standard way of considering pregnancy, and started doing reading some books. So there were some amazing books that were helping. One is, actually have them here. One is The Expecting Better by Emily Oster. Another book was Mayo Clinic Guide to a Healthy Pregnancy. Or also like We Are Pregnant, the First Time Dad's Pregnancy Handbook. And basically, these books open the door to, hey, there is a lot more. There is like this concept of midwife, of doula, that is not an esoteric thing. It's not like, oh, it's just for these hippie that want a natural birth. That is like, you know, these dangerous things you do at home and you can have a lot of complication. But because you favor a healthy vegan raw lifestyle, then you go for natural birth. And no, actually, it's there are studies, there are proven techniques, there are experienced people around alternatives to the hospital. They make alternative ways of giving birth, possibly even better. And of course, like, one thing to say as a disclaimer is that everybody has their own way of having birth, and everybody has needs to be comfortable with their way. But the thing that hits me the most in the preparation was that women are designed to give birth. Women have been giving birth for thousands of years in communities that support women to pregnancy, support women to childbirth and after. And in this society, I don't know how, we made it almost like a taboo topic. We should not talk about death. We should not talk about that. We should leave it as a woman thing. We should not talk about a lot of the details. And it's kind of like removing all this empowerment and all this power that women have through the transformation, and most importantly, is removing the confidence that women need to build up to actually go through the process. And the first thing that I learned, and that also goes to the tip maybe that we can share later, is that the most important role that I saw myself as a birth partner is in doing everything I could to make sure that my partner can become confident in herself or keep the confidence in herself to basically go through pregnancy, go through childbirth and trust her own instinct, trust her own hunches. And then, of course, like absorb information everywhere. There are books, there are childbirth courses, there is the birth box, there are YouTube videos. But at the end of the day, it's all about doing what you feel is right for you. And know that you are able to do it. Know that you are powerful to do it. Know that there are a lot of things that you need to embrace that are not just challenges or difficulties that you would like to avoid. For example, like you also, Poppy, talk a lot about pain, about be the pain, embrace the pain. And that's kind of like one of the main things that shocked me during the preparation through this. So like going through realizing like how many unique and powerful ways to give birth there are. And we took 3 birth courses, a little bit too many, of course. Like it's not something that I would say everybody has to take 3 birth courses. But for us, it was more about, hey, every birth course is going to be bias on something. It's going to have like one way of like, they think this is the way to do things in one way or another for how much they try to avoid it. And having a little bit more birth courses. And to be fair, we didn't spend more than 1 hour a week in total over 8 months that we realized we were pregnant. We actually could gather a lot of information. So we took a birth course in the birth house that is basically a much quieter version of an hospital. It's a middle way between having birth in your house or having birth in hospital. So the birth house is basically, for us, is the place where we could have birth with 3 midwives present with us, dedicated over a maximum of 24 hours, usually, in a warm hotel room-like and so on. And basically, we took a birth course with them. Then we took a birth course in our local area to also get to know other couples going through the same process. And then we took the birth box. And each one of those courses gave us like a different teaching. In a birth house, we learned a lot about the female anatomy, about like when to go there, like how to check the cervix, how the man can actually do perineal massage and all these things. In the local community one, we learn about more like the how to massage the woman through pregnancy, how to vocalize through pain. And that was amazing, actually. And then with the birth box, it was the only one actually that made us really confident with the meditation technique, with the positive thinking about how powerful and great of an experience this is. I think that the birth box was the one. I have so many pictures of my wife with the earpods, with the earphones, listening to the meditation from you, Poppy, during birth. It was the one that basically made us feel able, made her feel able always, I can do it. And there is going to be pain and we can do it. So this was like the energy that this gave us. After the birth courses, we did also another thing that I would recommend to any couple out there. Whether you think you need it or not, like preventive couple therapy, like even 1 or 2 sessions is something great that you can do. You're going to go through a huge change, and this can help you get to know each other a little bit more and solidify some of the foundations that you're going to need to use when you go through the process, and especially when the kid is there. Or if you have complications also, in case the kid is not going to be there, you want these foundations as a base, as a couple. And this does realize that after the first kid, we're not the same people. We're not the same father, not the same man, the same woman. We need to get to know each other again, because we are going to be also father and a mother.
It sounds like you did a lot of prep. Correct me if I'm wrong, but are you both kind of learners? Like you like to learn things and...
While it sounds like we did a lot of prep, the thing to not forget is that it's 8 months we had. Actually, to be honest, like we had the first positive test of, ironically, like 10 days after. It was really weird. So we had like 8 months and something. But we, even just with 8 months of time, even if you spend just 1 hour every couple of days to pregnancy, yeah, whether it is doing a couple therapy, doing a birth course or reading, like there is a lot that you can absorb, actually.
And it sounds like you got really passionate along the way, like I can hear in your voice. And I want to know, did you feel like it kind of aided in the bond that you had with Elizabeth going through that process of learning?
100%. I love my wife. And basically, this means that I want to be there for her. And the most important thing for me is I don't want just to be a supportive partner, because being a supportive partner means that we are not pregnant. It means that she's pregnant. I mean, she's going through childbirth, but we are both parents. Like we are going through these things. Being a father means that yes, a supporter as much as she supports me, but I need to play my part. I need to be a father and take ownership and play my role. And of course, I cannot grow the baby. Like it's like I had the conceiving part is the part where the father says, people say usually like it's the only job that the father does, and then everything else is on the woman. It's not like that. There is so much that actually fathers and partners can discover that they can actually do through the pregnancy, and that basically can make you an extremely supportive partner and play your role as a partner in the relationship, from preparing the house to organizing the courses to doing all the organization stuff. I mean, of course, the mother is growing the baby, spending time on finding out what is the best way to go through an healthy pregnancy. But there is so much to do also on the side that could be done by partners. And I say it's a two-way street, because, and maybe this is more of a personal assumption, but I've seen in a lot of friends that in situations where the mother does most of the work, and in this patriarchal society, we kind of like some mothers also don't question themselves. They just go through that. And they're just like, this is my role. I have to do it. I feel that this may actually build a little bit of grudges at the end, because like, hey, you could have done something more. Like I'm doing a 24/7 bringing a baby to life that can gain up to 20 kilos in the, or 30 kilos or more in the end stage of pregnancy. And I can't say, oh, at 5 I stop working, at 6 I stop working, I take my thing out and kind of like relax. Just not possible. So it's a constant work, going through emotional swings, going through attachment, going through all sort of hormonal changes. It's just fair that we try to do our best, basically, to make this experience as easy as possible. And it's not going to be always pleasant. It's not going to be always happy. And that's fine. That's fair. We're not going to be perfect ever. But we can play our part to make it much better.
Also, just to add to that, to recognize that this is a rich experience for you as a birth partner, and as a person going through a major life transition, instead of sitting on the side, you get to be, you know, in this huge transformational journey. I think that whole perspective of birth partners are on the side, right? They're the bit on the side, or they're the spare part, is absolutely not true. They can be the most fundamental part of a woman's laboring journey. And as a doula, I've seen this, which is what makes me personally really passionate about birth partners. I think they're more effective than a breathing technique. I think they are actually one of the most important tools that you will have. I want to hear about the birth and your role within it and how you navigated this birth experience. What were you doing? How were you supporting? What were the challenges that you were faced with? Take us into this birth that has made you so passionate and want to speak about birth partners.
Okay, so talking about a birth, one thing that I would like to mention first is that it was not a straightforward pregnancy. In the first 3 months, the ultrasound identified a big edema that is like a big block of water behind the neck that basically means that there is a very high risk of miscarriage or very high risk of chromosomal defects. That could be Down syndrome or could mean that it's one of those genetic mutations that means that the baby is not going to make it through the first year of life. And this was during the first 3 months. And then in the fourth month, there was a strong bleeding from the mother that got us to go to the hospital again and go through quite some scare, wait for exam and realize that, we're just going to go through and we think it's okay. And then on the 7 month, on the sixth and a half month, another ultrasound told us that the cervix was shortened. That means that the baby could have been born premature, like 2 months premature. That also implied us reacting differently, understanding like what to do after. And ironically, then the baby was born exactly on the due date. But one thing that was important during the pregnancy and it was critical was to have a strong network of support between us two, like to be together through these moments as much as possible, to be willing to accept what actually was going to be possibly any kind of like sort of outcome, and possibly also to have like an inner circle, like family and friends, close friends, to be able to be there to support you. When we also say that pregnancy has been made almost like a taboo by society, there is like this big thing about not talking about the first 3 months about your pregnancy. These are the months where a woman needs the most support, especially for the first baby. Women go through this big change. It may affect work, it may affect their career, may affect their life, may affect, will create a lot of anxieties about the future. And we basically ask women, hey, don't talk about this until the fourth month, because, you know, you may lose it. And it's such a silly thing to do, because also in case there is a miscarriage, that yes, there is like a higher chance, of course, in the first months, you want the strong network of support to be around in case that happens. You don't want just this to be just the news that the woman and the partner keep for themselves. And this is what we did, basically. And there were some people that were like, oh, yeah, but don't tell this around. Just keep it to yourself. And this was, I have to say, a little bit hurtful, but also helped us recognize who could be a strong supporter after and who is not. Because when we went through the first pregnancy issues, then these were the people, the strong supporters were the ones that were with us, while the other ones were the ones that we just didn't tell things as they were. On the day that was the due date, Elizabeth, my wife, she told me, I think at 2 a.m. in the morning, say, hey, I think that the water's broke. And first of all, it was nothing like any movie. Like you just walk around and boom, big splash of things. Like I think statistically that works only for 10% or something. Like it was just different. And it was matching one of the things that you were saying, Pop, and other people saying that is basically, you know when something is different. You as a woman, like you realize. And then she did in that moment was like, okay, I think this is the water that broke. It could have been anything else, but she knew. She was sure that the process was starting. So what we did when we learned at that point was, okay, being calm for both of us, being relaxed, like letting it evolve and up to the point where contractions are of a certain type, the cervix is open to a certain point. And for me, that was the part where I didn't know before as a father whether I would have been able to actually to stay calm. Like I tend to be in an intense situation. I want to sometimes even take control and be like, okay, like let me handle things as like a standard man things to do, like sometimes. But in this case, it's like one of the things that we were told basically was like, hey, your role is to 100% trust the woman. When she wants to go, when the mother wants to go to have birth, then she will know. She wants to stay at home, then stay at home. Like don't push, don't force, don't do anything. Just stay on the side, be supportive. And what happened, and it was something that was completely unexpected for me, is that when the water broke, a huge surge of like energy got me. It's like, okay, this energy gave me the ability to be extremely calm during these moments and be like, okay, this is my role. Like she is going to a transformational moment. Like she's going to be giving birth to welcome a life into this world. My role is to be like there. My role is to take care of everything else, to make sure that she doesn't have any distractions. It's like one person, I don't remember who actually compared the process of childbirth to like to having sex. Like it's almost like you don't want to be distracted in the moment because you lose your way to your orgasm. You lose your way to like satisfaction. So if during sex, you have to stop and kind of like talk to the midwife or whatever. So we decided at 2 a.m. when this happened, first thing we do is like, okay, let's go to bed and let's sleep a couple of hours, like to let things build up. So we slept a couple of hours, then we woke up and we started baking a cake as another thing to spend some time. So we baked the cake and after 3 hours, we had this cake, nice, out of the oven, marble cake, it's called. And then we started driving to the in Germany, it's called the Geburtshaus, the birth house. And that is one that we selected from different birth houses that we checked in Berlin. This one was in Hellersdorf. It's called Geburtshaus am Kimberg and was absolutely amazing. Like a team of superheroes that just inspired us trust. And that's what I also would recommend to any couple out there and any mother. Like, try to see, if possible, like who is going to help you, who's going to facilitate you through birth. And make sure that you kind of like feel it. And as a birth partner, that you also feel it, that you also feel comfortable, that you can trust them to operate, to be on your wife, to help it through the process while you are on the side. And maybe you just have to exist and be supportive on the side and let everybody else do the work. You have to feel that you can be in this situation. So this amazing team in this birth house, there was 1.5 hours by car from us, gave us that trust. So yeah, we entered into the car, we got into the car, and we drove this long path. And it is, of course, like already proved me that I could be there for her because I didn't know that whether I would be able to drive this long without like paying attention to the road, but it was absolutely fine. And once we arrived, the contractions started to get a little bit stronger. The contraction became quite painful pretty soon. Like it was 5 hours where in 5 hours, the cervix only got to 1 centimeter dilated. And at this point, Elizabeth was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. If 5 hours for 1 centimeter, and this level of pain that I never saw her experiencing, to be honest, how do we get to 10 centimeters? Like, that's not going to happen. But there was one thing that prepared me also to be on the side with her and to be able to like know when something needs action and something doesn't. Before we even started the whole process, I talked to the midwife that was there and basically said, okay, so I'm okay to be involved in every level of details. I'm okay to see blood. I'm okay to see tears. I'm okay to see everything. And I will trust you. But I need you then to give me a scene. I don't know. This is the first time for me that I'm going through this. So I will look at you. And if you tell me everything is okay, I will be there. I will be calm and I will suture down. I will calm her. And if you ask me if everything is okay, I will tell her that everything is okay. But if something's not okay, please don't lie to me. Don't just try to ask me to step away and I will gladly step away. But don't tell me everything is okay when things are not. And this was what I needed the midwife to agree with me to make sure that I actually could trust them. Because during this process where I seen my wife go basically through a pain I never imagined that she would be going through, like almost like fainting pain, and explain later why, they were constantly, I was looking at the midwife was looking at me, was be okay. And I was like, okay, fine. And this process gave me basically so much strength to actually be like, okay, this sucks. This is really terrible, but it will pass. It's just a matter of time. It's like, it's part of the process. And it's a process that billions of women have been going through successfully, and we are designed to do, and women are designed to do really well. So the reason why it was so painful is because the cervix was moved on the back, or it's like was not in the right position. So when it was possible, then the midwife was able to move the cervix. And at this point, what happened was that from there to birth was about 30 minutes. When the cervix was moved, meconium came out. And as we know, like when meconium comes out, means that baby pooped in the inside the uterus, and basically the baby can absorb the meconium, so bring it in. So that's kind of like becomes a little bit of a dangerous situation, but like clockwork, like in a absolutely superb way of working, like I saw the midwives getting themselves with a heart monitor and a CT monitor to just kind of like manage the birth in a way that my wife was able to push with a contraction in the right way, with the right rhythm, and get basically the beginning of the head out very quickly, like within 10 minutes. And then from that to have the whole baby out, there was another just less than 10 minutes. Like actually from seeing the head to seeing the full baby was about 40 seconds, the very, very last stage. That also caused a little bit of a tear that actually not a little bit, a third level tear that required her to be hospitalized after. But again, we had the baby, we were able to do the golden hours. It was, as a birth partner there, my role was basically to, one, be with her. Like provide her safety, provide her comfort, telling her constantly that everything is okay. But also when she was telling me like, hey, I can't take this anymore, this is not okay, to ask her like, are you sure? Do you want to change things? And if she said, actually, yes, I want to go home or I want to go to the hospital, I would have done that. I would have been stepped in with the midwife and say, no, I'm sorry, we're going to stop this now. But she was saying this, she was in extreme pain. She was saying, I need to stop this. I am having this extreme pain every 3 minutes. And when I was asking her, do you want to stop? Do you want to go to the hospital? She was then not answering. And I was like, okay, then we continue. So she was always in control. And that's the important thing. Like she knows, she knew what to do. The second thing was silly, but very important. Keep offering water and possibly food. Like really, they need to eat. They need to drink, especially like during this process. Like there is a lot of water. There is a lot of fluid loss. So silicone straw is what I recommend to everybody because you never know the position she's going to be in. And the third thing is we tried in the different birth courses and classes. We experimented different birthing positions, like we hanging on me, like being on my shoulders, being in front of me, being on the back, being on the bed, everything else. And of course, like not in prepared to birth, but during birth, she almost knew between each contraction which position was the best for her. And my job was like to facilitate that. She was trying to stand up. Okay, take a stool and put it under. She was trying to like hug me. Okay, be there. Just move around. And kind of like always make sure that she can achieve and she can do what she thinks is best because that very likely is the best way. And take care of everything else. And ask the midwives sometimes to move. So ask the midwives to give you water. And then they were super supportive in this as well. And in the last step, like she was actually, that's a bit of an emotional part because it was very impactful. she was hugging me in front of me and giving birth. And I was the first one to see the head of the baby coming out. I was, sorry.
It's okay. Take your time.
It's a very, very sweet moment. And when I saw the head of the baby coming out, as the first person seeing that, like, all this kind of like energy that I had to be like there to be solid, to not cry in front of her, to like explode it. Like,
yeah. Wow.
I laughed, I exploded, and kind of like of joy, she looked at me and she understood that this was happening. So she was like, okay, wow, we are there. So I think that this also, she gave a final push, the baby got out all in one way. And it's kind of like, because of this strong final push, also she got a tear. And basically then the first thing that she did was something I knew would happen, but I never expected to happen this way. Like she almost like, she screamed my baby more before anybody else. I was still shocked about what was happening. She's kind of like screaming my baby. She took the baby like this blue little thing. And it's normal that they're blue. They need the blood to flow and everything. And then she put it on the chest and she went on the bed. That was like, I had people before asking me like, do you want to be in the birth room before during the process? And I was like, I would have not changed things in a million years. Like it's the way it went was absolutely fantastic. We had the golden hour. We both were like top naked in the bed with the kid between us. The placenta came out also very nicely, all connected with the umbilical cord. We waited until all the blood flew to the baby. I went back to the baby and the umbilical cord was white. Then we cut it. And then she had to go to the hospital to get this tear stitched. So that was something that could have been hard, but as a birth partner, this is really, really, really important that if you inspired trust, if you could be the anchor in these moments, it's very likely that the mother will have to travel alone to the hospital. And this is really, really, really hard if they don't know what happens with the baby. But the moment they know that the baby is in safe hands with you and is never going to leave one of the parents, then she can go on the ambulance, go to the hospital, meet you there, and then things are going to be sorted out there. And this is like also why we chose the birth house, because yes, it's natural birth and it's not as different statistically from like hospital birth or anything else in terms of danger. But in case there is any complication, the hospital is 10 minutes away. But the benefit that you get from natural birth, the benefit are immense. You get a golden hour, you get midwives that listen to you and you get doulas sometimes in the house that can help you also get what you want to get for the first time with the baby. So yeah, it wasn't easy. It was a complex, intense time. It was a hard times for both of us, but yeah, I wouldn't do it in any other way. Like the way that she, the mother, like, and my wife described me was like being an anchor and a shield, kind of like being the medium between the outside world and her zone where she was able to stay bubbled and focus on giving birth. So this is probably the best thing that happened to me.
Wow. That's such a lovely description as well. What did she say to you, like, kind of later after you'd gone home and it all started to sink in? Did she say anything about the way you supported her and have any sort of like reflections after the birth?
Yeah, I think that it's really important to talk about the birth for both partners, whatever way it went, whether even the partner was present or not, because again, every partner needs to decide what is the level of involvement they are comfortable in having, and every couple has their own, but it's very important to talk about this and to process this after. So of course, like, she was extremely thankful that I was playing my part. I feel on my side that it's like, there's no thank you here. It's like, I'm a father. This is my role. This is like what I want to do to play my part, my role in that. And I don't need to be thanked on that. The baseline is very low these days. Yeah, I think that every time we talk about this, it's like, I get this overwhelming recognition of for this very, very short 8 hours of work. I think that this was like, also when I said before that this is something that could be a double-edged sword, it's like not just for the mother maybe expecting more and not having it, but also for the father for feeling like they could have done more. And I didn't want to be in that spot. So I knew it was going to be difficult. I knew it was going to be hard. I knew I would have to see my wife go through a lot of pains and be okay with that. That's the most important part, because we're all triggered when we see our loved ones going through pains. We want to do something. We want to stop it, and we can't. At that point, we can't. We just have to let it go through and embrace it and be like, this is going to work, and inspire the confidence. Have confidence in us that we can be there for them, and have confidence and help them have confidence in themselves that they can go through the process safely and winning it.
That's absolutely it. Especially, yeah, with those big contractions and that intense pain. If you start, you know, going, oh, I'm really uncomfortable, I want to take this away. I talk about this on Birth Box. As a birth partner, you want, as a husband, you want to take away emotional and physical pain. But in this instance, that's not your job. Like your job is to hold the space and instill confidence that they can do it, which it sounds like you did brilliantly. So for the people listening who are just like, well, like me, like, wow, what a story. And wow, like your role within that and how involved you were. I could really kind of see you, like, you know, moving her and the positions and just being there present the whole time. For people listening who are really kind of anxious and they're like, oh, I can't even really see myself doing that, or I don't even know where to start. Like, what final tips or words of wisdom do you have for those more nervous birth partners?
I would say two main things. So the first one is a bit of a reality check I gave to myself as well. It's like, if you think, oh my God, this is, I'm not sure I can do it or whatever, think about your partner, and she may not be sure as well, but she's into it. She has to go through it. And if you think, oh, I may not be able to see her in pain, she has to go through the pain regardless you see her or not. So I think it is a big ask, sure, but it is a fair ask to be present, because she's going through it no matter what. And the best thing that you can do, and this is through all the pregnancy, like there are studies now that show even that in breastfeeding, that one of the most important factors is the support from the other caregivers, for the other partner. Like the same thing is in birth, I'm pretty sure, and it is in pregnancy. Like the stress is a huge factor. Feeling lonely is a huge factor. Feeling incapable, not having the confidence, and somebody that boosts your confidence is another huge factor. So be there to split the pain or to absorb some of the pains and to be okay to go with that, because they have to, your partner has to go through it regardless. So you can only make things better. And I think it's fair that you do. And that's probably a little bit of the harsher kind of like tip, but a fair one. And the second one is, it felt to me like if you ever run 5K, 10K or whatever, like, or participated to any events that required a lot of preparation, you may realize that the energy you get on the day of performing is nothing compared to the energy that you have during training. And that's the same thing that happened to me during childbirth. Like mentally preparing myself, like, and also pressuring myself, having fear of performance anxiety. Can I be like this supportive person next to her and so on? And then be like, no, you know, like we've been designed for this, it's going to be okay. And reality check again, I have to do it because that's just my role. And when it happened on the moment of the marathon of the 5K or whatever, like there was like a burst of energy into me. Like, okay, every time I kind of like prepared mentally myself before, I kind of like fed a little bit of energy into this bucket that is now all coming out during this day. So it will happen. If you believe that you can do it, if you set yourself in that role and that you will be there for her, then you will be able to do it. And kind of like believe in yourself and have self-compassion as well. You may cry, you may mess up a few things, you may forget to give her water sometimes, and it's absolutely fine. It's kind of like parenting, never going to be perfect, but we can work towards making it as best and fitting to us as possible.
Yeah. And I also think just showing a will, like you're willing to do this, you want to do this. And that starts in the pregnancy by saying, okay, what courses are we going to take together? I'm going to sit and watch all the videos with you. I'm going to come on these courses. I've just bought myself a birth partner book. I'm reading this. Would you, you know, just showing that interest. And I think, you know, when I was pregnant and Tom came to the hypnobirthing course and we spoke about it afterwards, I genuinely was like, I feel like you care about this. And that was a really nice thing. So showing that interest in pregnancy, I would say, is really important. And going to the courses and basically going on this exact same learning journey.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because it's, I mean, couple life is always about like having these growth spurs in each partner and then kind of like balancing out and then kind of like growing together, but never going to be linear together, you know? But when there is a fatherhood and motherhood, like that's a huge jump. And if you're don't, a mother is going to like take that very quickly. And absolutely, you should not wait until you hold the baby to be a father. Like that's not how it works. Yeah. You're a father from day now. One. You can start building a proper bond with the baby physically the moment you hold it. And then Also, like one other thing is, don't expect the moment you get the baby in your arm that suddenly, like, bling, something magical happens, like in movies. Like, it didn't happen for me. I held the baby. I was like more worried about my wife at that moment. I was like looking at her and be like, "Are you okay?" And everything. Like, yeah, it's cute. It's great. And now the baby is like the best thing for me. Like, but it built over weeks. It built over time. Yeah. But I'm confident and happy and proud that I've been a father from a supportive father from day one. And that's like by taking responsibility on my role and playing my part, doing the right things, and setting up work in a way that works, and setting up the house in a way that works, and being there for her.
Oh, wow. This has been incredible. Oh, well, I hope Elizabeth enjoys reflecting on all of this as well. And I'm sure the listeners are going to love this one. If people want to reach out to you, how can they do that? Can I put your Instagram in the show notes?
Yeah, I made it public this morning. So, like, you can put an Instagram there. So I'm absolutely fine. Great.
And then for people in London, we're hosting a live event on February the 3rd, where we're going to have a birth partner panel. If you're in London, Enrico, please do join us. You could also join virtually, potentially, which could be interesting. But we're going to have a panel at the event where we listen to a male doula, two birth partners and a mum. And it's going to be a live interactive Q&A, which I'm going to host at the event as a part of one of the sessions. So click on the link in the show notes to sign up for that event. It's called Pop That Festival. First ever. Thank you so much. This has been great.
Likewise. Thank you so much also for the opportunity. And there is a lot like that needs to be done for dads out there. So a lot of coaching and education and training. And we got to break these barriers about like, hey, that's fine. Just let the woman handle it.
Well, do you know what? We do need more birth partners, like men on the scene in the birthing space. So let's see if you do something. I've got a little feeling here. We might be seeing you around.
There is like this great thing that one person told me once is like, things should not be changed by marginalized part of society. But imagine like if in this case a woman is marginalized in birth, it should not be women going there out there and fight for this, but it should be the ally, the community, the everybody around it. That's what we have to do. It's our responsibility. It's not our problem the moment we are aware of it, you know.
Brilliant.
Call Thank my wife. She may be super happy to see you as well.
Yeah.
You want to come? You want to come for a second?
Hi, I can't see you, but oh, there. Hi.
Hi.
Hey. Congratulations.
Thanks.
We've just heard your story. Amazing.
Yeah,
I can only imagine the shock from being like 1 centimeter to this is happening.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, 10 minutes and then was like, what's going on? Like, yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. Just goes to show that things can change so quickly, right? Exactly. Oh, but congratulations.
What do you read?
Yeah. Well, you're going to listen to this amazing podcast and Enrica's shared some amazing tips. Oh, they just kissed for everyone. You seem like such a... Couple goals.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
It's kind of like a final thing is, yes, you're a father and a mother, but you're also an husband and a wife. It's a new way of loving each other as a father and mother, but there's the existing way that needs to stay there.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. Yeah. All right. Well, it was lovely chatting with you. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Poppy. Bye.